What thing is that for? I think there's a reason they do it. Okay. They eat a lot of roughage, and they regurgitate that, and it's a digestive process. They've got the food all there. But in order to be efficient in the digestive system, they go and rework it through. You get more value. They fine-tune it down so the system can take it in. That's why they do that. And it allows them to get the ultimate out of it. We have been in, this is the 16th service of the La Raza Camp Meeting, 2013. And I personally appreciated the meeting. I felt like the Lord really blessed the meeting. I feel like there was a lot of valuable things happened in the meeting. If someone would read the second chapter of Hebrews and the first chapter, or the first verse, read that for me. We'll think about this verse a little bit. And again, I want us to open our minds a little bit, our hearts, and be willing to express, because we have 15 services to chew on. So let's see what we've got and see how much chewing we can do. Somebody read that passage.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Okay, what do you think the more earnest heed is talking about? What do you think that expression means? The more earnest heed. I'm very hard of hearing. I'm sorry.
Pay more attention.
Okay. Pay more attention. Fine-tune down to. Give the more earnest heed would to be to not think so much about something else then, right? But to focus down on something specific. Focus in on it. Why? What's the writer trying to say there? Why it should be done? Okay, if it's valuable, we want to hold on to it. I think if we're paying attention today, we might be challenged with something. We might be challenged with something here if we pay attention. Give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Well, that's what we've been doing. We've been listening. We've been there to do that. So now we're going to exercise a little bit. Because it says less, there's a reason why to have it there, stuck there. There's a reason things stick. The reason things stick is because of the importance that there is on it. I'd be willing to say that if Jesus in the flesh or in the form of his glorified body would have appeared here, I don't think any of us would go out the door and have to say, what did he say? I'd be willing that would be enough to impress upon our minds the memory of what happened and what he said and the importance that what he said meant to me. Okay? Who preached the first message? Roger 2. 2013. Huh?
Brother Ed.
43.
Thy kingdom come.
I know everybody wasn't here every meeting, but how many remember the message, Thy Kingdom Come? Is anybody willing to give us an overview? Okay, the Lord's Prayer. I believe be willing to say that when you go out of here today, if you're paying attention, that that'll stick in your mind better than it did before. If there's an emphasis to put on it and say that's worth remembering, or if it was brought to your attention as an important part to remember, it has more focus to remember that. Thy kingdom come. How did he use that when he got down? He kind of got personal, you remember? He kind of got personal. And how did he link that to our lives? You might remember how that worked.
Thy kingdom come in me.
Thy kingdom come in me was really the message the Lord really was having. If you shut it down to the bare thing was that the Lord wanted his kingdom to come in us.
Yeah.
And that's what he really wanted to do. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How did he say it was done in heaven?
Perfect.
How does he want it done in us? Perfectly. And is that worth remembering?
Yes.
Would we have forgotten that? I'm curious. Would we have forgotten that? Did anybody forget it? I know we've had a lot of messages, and it's hard to digest them all. But there is a good reason, or a very good reason to suggest what Brother up home had a little notebook he kept in his pocket. Every service he continually wrote notes, and every day of the week he was pulling out, reading those notes. And if you got with him, he'd pull his note out and say, "Do you remember what Brother Salmon said?" He said that, and he just was like he fed off of that all the time. He's always pulling it out and wanted to tell you what was said and like that. We'd say a very important time.
Yeah.
Only happens once a year. We give ourselves to it. Obviously, there's a lot of work done. There's a lot of expense in it. There's a lot of kitchen work. There's a lot of stuff that needs done. Everyone here probably tired. I'm tired. It's taxing, all those things. Then that puts more emphasis on taking advantage of a very special time. And the words that were said, the writer there in Hebrews said to give the more earnest heed to it, to the things which you heard. Because if you don't, you're going to let them slip. And the value of them then, the only way that they're really valuable is, and it's valuable to hear them. And a lot of times we can absorb the principle, I know, without ever, we don't necessarily know how to explain it, but we've got that. And I know that's true. But the value of getting it, receiving it, and maintaining it is very valuable.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say it and say, "Amen, that makes sense to me, that was good." But if we go away and never have absorbed or digested it, it's not given the value to it. So I'm encouraging today that to take, make it the more earnest heed.
Yeah.
Make it the more earnest heed, to pay attention to it. What was the second message? We talked about Sunday morning, a week ago, Sunday night. Who preached Sunday night? Oh, I did. The spiritual mind. Well, anybody have any thoughts on that? What was the preacher talking about?
Spiritual mind versus carnal mind.
Okay. You want me to use that? All right, I was trying to holler. I'll just mute
it. It records.
Pardon?
It records.
Oh, okay.
All right, a spiritual mind. Does anyone have any thoughts about that? I actually remember because I came to come better. I'm trying to struggle here a little bit.
The spiritual mind is life and peace.
And the carnal mind is death. And so, again, the idea of that message, maybe that, something there, something valuable. Not maybe the absorbance of the whole thing, but you know, they always say, I believe this too. I believe this is the way I accept God's, when I say message. The minister have different deliveries. Flowery or not flowery, or enthusiastic or not enthusiastic. But if you look for the message, what is God saying to me? We call it a message versus a sermon. We do. We say sermon some, but it's not really a word we use. We usually use the word message because what we're trying to say is that within this is a message to you from God to us. This is a message. And so when we get away from the, and I know there's all things that enhance that, there's stories, there's personalities, there's passions, there's everything in it. But the bottom line is that there is a message from God in this to me. That's what we need. Is what did God say to me? Who preached Monday morning? Sister Marcia? What did she talk about? Church of God Reformation. Okay. Does somebody want to overview it? Okay. That was the overview of the overview. Reminder. That's the way I took it. I took it as a reminder. A reminder of the heritage of the faithful that went before. That's the message that I felt like the Lord said to me was, remember. Remember what I've done in the past to know that I'm with you in the future. That's what I thought. I thought of people that had God on them. And she used a lot of examples of the past and those kind of things. I think there's real value in that. Look back from the pit from which he was hewn was a thought I had of that scripture particularly, of course, was talking about Sarah and her barren womb and that the whole Israel nation came from a barren womb. Well, we can use that in our own lives because I was barren and unfruitful. Well, that's my thought that went along with the message that she had, that we look back and see the works of God. How wonderful He is in that all. Who preached Monday night? All right. What did he preach about? And what's that? Oh, yes. Christ. Okay. Anyone want to give us an overview of that?
Well, he spoke different times to those who came to him and asked him for something. He would converse with them, he would speak with them, but then with the parent,
what do you feel about that? That stick with you? The seriousness, I mean, of that thought. That there, a person can get into a place that the God of all-knowing, all-seeing, that could come and tell you what you did on your first birthday. That what you've done in the silence, the weeping that you've done, the embarrassments you've felt, the struggles of life that you had, he tell you every one of them with detail. Knows them all the way through. Knows you so well that he could converse with you so well to get into a place that he wouldn't say anything to you after all that. I think that is a serious thought to remember. I think we ought to chew on that. That people, humankind, all kind, but you can actually get to the place that the Lord would say, that it would be said of the Lord that He spoke not a word. I think that's very serious. I think it's something we ought to not let slip. I don't think we ought to let that one slip. I think we ought to hold on to that. Lord, help me. The Lord, help me to be in a place that You speak to my soul. Monday night. We already got that one. Tuesday morning. All right. What was that one about? All right. Regarding not what I may see. Somebody will give an overview of that.
We need to get a good overview of that one because that one didn't take.
Okay, now that brings in an interesting thought. We'll depend on the tapes and we'll listen to it again, huh? Okay.
Also, what we regard, like David and Goliath, all the army was out there regarding Goliath and the fear of the mortal man, if you will. David came up and he regarded not Goliath. He was looking at and regarding what God could do. And in his response to those men was, I'm going to let this guy talk about this. Well, where's God at? Come on. And, it's really, are we regarding or paying attention to things in our lives we shouldn't be allowing to have that dedicated attention? Should we change what we're regarding away from the Goliaths in our life and over to the Lord who can help us take on some lives?
Amen.
I believe you mentioned that word regarding was putting value on.
Okay.
I believe that's what it means.
Okay.
You see it, it's there. But we don't assign or ascribe value to it. We have to see it for what it really is. It's there. But it's not something that I put a real high value on. This is Goliath. Yes, he is big. He's a giant. He's got a big spear and a big shield. But I'm not to put value on him because God figured it.
Yes. Anyone else? Okay. Do you think it's possible for those us serving the Lord, do you think that it's possible that we may in our lifetime face something that's bigger than we are? Is it possible that we would run into a situation that it could be the potential destruction of us? You think it's possible that in a spiritual sense could happen? Then it's probably very valuable to say, this might be a good thing to chew on a while. Because it's by faith. See, God is bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than the valleys. He's bigger than the giants. It's an important place. If we go through life, I might need that. That might be a message that may have been preached here, and I may not see it in the next week or 2 weeks, but somewhere it's fairly possible that I'm going to run into something that's bigger than I am, that I'm going to have to not regard the power of it, the size of it, the situation of it in my life. If I regard it, it could be my destruction. The Lord sent that answer, and sometimes that's the way He does it. And there it is, that we would give the more earnest heed. That to think that if you don't think this is a stress, that my eternal destiny might be in whether I give the earnest heed or not. I mean, it could. That's why, isn't that why we do it? It is a social thing in the sense that we appreciate the fellowship of the saints. But nobody would say that's why we do it. We do it for our souls and the souls of those around. We continually to do it. They've done it 100 years ago. They do it now. We do it this way. To say we are in need of God. We want to hear what you have to say, Lord. Through His Word, He gives us these things. And we need to give the earnest heed to them. I fear because, and I hope this is a challenge, because to be honest with you, we forget, don't we? Now, Sister Connie, did you write these down? Can I ask you, I'll refer to you when I need, when you got them wrote down. But I want to see if we remember first. If you got it wrote down, don't refer to it. So I really want to know, just for a little bit. Who preached Tuesday night? You could eeny, meeny, miny, moe. There wasn't that many here. You say, well, Brother Marty preached the last one, so he didn't preach the next one. Let's see, it erases him. Huh? No, I don't think so. But I'm going to refer to Brother Ed. Okay, hold it a minute. Brother Ed, what did he preach? What if my soul hinges on this one? Now, I know we're human and we're going to forget. I'm just saying that there is such a value that I really think that we can give much more diligence to. Since this thought came to me, I've been trying to be diligent. Now, I left one on my notes of 15 services, well, rather than today's 14 services, off. I did not write down the topic of it. Just one. So I could use the faculty of my mind to remember. I can't think of a thing. I'm blank. Just God help us. Huh? Yeah.
He preached about the signs of the times.
Give them a sign, right? The sign of the times. Now, anybody want to give me the overview of that to their minds? What was that about? A wicked and a perverse generation. They seek of the sign. Okay. Anybody coming up with anything? Okay.
We have desires. When we're just going to kids, when we learn about what I want, that I might find myself going to God. This is what I want, Lord. And I want it now. It needs to be done now. And you know, when I do that, a lot of times I find it, it's not going to be done now. One writer made a comment about one verse. He said, "The Lord does not need our suggestion as to what tool to use or when to use."
Right.
He has that choice. So that was a challenge to me.
Amen. Anybody else? So who preached the first message of the meeting? What did he preach on? That kingdom come. All right. Wednesday morning. Well, how many was here Wednesday morning? Okay, several people was here Wednesday morning. All right, who preached Wednesday morning? Huh? All right, what did I preach on? You didn't write the note down.
Idle words.
Oh, okay.
You have different interpretations of my mother's
Okay. Okay, anybody?
So it started off with the appointed man wants to die and face the judgment. Now those are two appointments everyone will make. And then, you know, based on that, going into the idle words, when we speak, if we're praising God, if we're, you know, saying things about God within our lives are inactive, idle, nothing to them, we will be called to give account for those spoken words that we did not then put action on.
Okay. That was a good overview. I remember that one. Anyone else? Wednesday night. Brother Philip, what do you preach on? What's that? Alright, the fathers turning the hearts of their sons. Remember that? Do you know there are some messages that just stick? That one stuck. I remember that one. I remember that. That was something that really, really stuck there with me. I remember that. Anyone want to give an overview of that? Or what did it mean to you? I remember that too. So I went away saying, I can't thump my boys on the head anymore. That was a good message. I'm not saying others. Well, I'm saying that I heard that. I heard it. It stuck with me as a challenge of doing all that I can do. And not only for children, but for those around. But it come out clear to me in my mind. It stuck. That being winning to them and turning their heart. In other words, win them. Win them with conduct. Win them with your life. Win them to God. Win them to God. That's what I got. I appreciated that message. All right, let's go on. I don't mean to take a lot of time. I just wanted to go through these. Who preached Thursday morning? Did someone answer? Brother Ivan. Okay, what did Brother Ivan preach about Thursday morning?
Having purpose.
Purpose? Okay. Anybody? What's that? You got notes, Sister Connie?
Yeah, he can touch his God. 2 or 3
from that Asa. Mm-hmm.
Progressing in righteousness.
What's that? Progressing in righteousness. Yes, that was the phrase that kind of stuck with me too. Right is right. Was that the next one he mentioned that in? Oh, there we go. Right. Amen. All right, Thursday night. Who preached Thursday night? Oh, I did. Huh? I did. Why? What I preach on? All right. Did that make sense? All right. What was it about then? Anybody want to give any more on that?
He used John the Baptist as, you know, his time had filled up. His work, you know, the forerunner of Christ was coming to a close. And in doing so, you know, it filled up and he ended up with his head on the platter. But that had to be so that Christ could take over and continue his work. And that in our lives, we'll find that there will be times where our times will fill up. We may find that we're facing things for Christ, but it is in the fullness of time. And we'll submit and be strong through the end. And we may hopefully find ourselves in heaven regardless of where our end ends up.
That's true.
One thing that's definitely me, I think if you live, you know, a long life, I guess you know more. You mentioned something about if you're going to go through something, you want to be sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And I think, you know, if you ask if people have been in that situation, I saw a lot of head nodding. You want to be sure you know what you believe when you enter into something, because if you're going to face possibly death or some other dire circumstance, you want to make sure you're doing it for a cause. It's not just because you were
right.
Screw up that way and whatever. You need to know why you're doing it.
Again.
I just remember having, before you brought that out about John the Baptist, it was a question about the Christ.
Yeah.
They have the same message, I think somebody mentioned, but blessed is he who is not offended in them.
Mm-hmm. All right, then who preached Friday morning? Brother Philip, what do you talk about?
Faithful.
Anybody get anything? I thought it was really good. It just brought it down. We're no superheroes. Just live faithful. Just be faithful. I thought that was so good. Just be faithful. Live faithful. We don't have to be super smart, rocket scientists. We don't have to be superheroes. Just live faithful. That's what he brought out about men that just was faithful. And so that kind of stuck with me a little more. Is anyone else?
I appreciate Mr. Rosie's exhortation.
The what? Okay, what was it?
It was more about our relationship with our children.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Friday night. Okay. What did he preach about? I never thought about it in the way he brought out how Mary Mary's innocency and her virtue was her best argument. It was what she had, she gave, and that was really valuable. Anyone else? Yeah, that's right. The first thing he had a little two subjects he said, where he likened divine healing with persecution. And then he did that. All right, what about Saturday morning? Oh, Brother Ivan, yes. Brother Ivan, what did he talk about? See, I twisted the two up in my mind. His second one was the one I was talking about. What did he preach about? He said, righteousness is just being right. About righteousness. Anybody else?
Well, he's talking about that message, read the scriptures, that not only not go in the way, but just add a void. Go near.
That's not mine.
That's not mine. Okay. What was last night's message? Who preached it? All right, what did he preach about? Okay. All right. That ought to be real fresh. What? Anybody got any thoughts on that? What did it mean to you? Zacchaeus, run ahead of him. Had some zeal for it, didn't he? That's what he was saying. Make haste. Hurry to it. Get with it. It's here. Get with it. It was a good message. It was very challenging. Yeah, I got a little tickled when he made the comment of some people saying they had to get things figured out before they get saved. And that kind of caught me a little humorous, that you had to figure it out first, when getting saved is what figures it out. So that was a little humorous to me. But yeah, it was a good message. Got a lot out of that. I think the meeting was very good. I think the Lord blessed it. Yes. Yes, that's true. That's a good thought. Is someone else? Well, the Lord was faithful. My burden really was this. I think we can get more. And probably this exercise, I know we did it at home, and it really brought out that we was pretty acknowledging that we could get more. And make, the scripture says, redeeming the time, I think, that we can realize and obtain more It's wonderful that the Lord's doing it, but that we could obtain more of what He's doing with an earnest heed to it. To give an earnest heed, make it valuable, and be more alert to it. In other words, find the triggers. Find the triggers of your... You know them. I relate to somebody writing on the board well. My visuals are better. If somebody writes something on the board that I visualize, most of the time when a title's put up, that gives me something to visualize, and I can get then recall. But it can be keeping notes or having the little memory tricks that you can have, or whatever that's valuable. It's valuable to give the more earnest heed. And I want to read this scripture and finish with it. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, there's kind of an analogy involved in this. It has to do with a vessel. Probably was alluding to a wooden vessel and a green one. And if you put water or liquids into a green vessel, they leak out. So it needed to be a seasoned. What he was saying is, be a seasoned vessel. It really is referring to maturity. It's referring to being able to grasp it and hold it. Maintain the lessons. And again, we're not going to remember every phrase. We're not going to remember everything to say it. But the message itself is important enough to grasp. And that we have more probably than we realize. When we was at home, I didn't write them down at all. And I tried to do this little exercise, so we all done it together at home after our camp meeting. And it was pretty bad. It took a lot of stirring in one another's minds to recall even who preached when, what they preached, and what the message really was. But you know, Brother Brandon Martin's preached a message on being heirs together of the grace of life. I don't remember if you were there, I think, maybe. No, you hadn't made it there. But it was on marriage. And do you know when we got to that one, everybody instantly said, Brother Brandon preached it, and this is what he preached about, and they could detail it out. Because there was something about that registered with everybody, which was the point. It was because that meant something to everybody. It was something that was very memorable, so everyone remembered that particular one. Brother Doug preached a message on spirits that was so impressive that everybody could really tell you what he had said in that. The rest of it was garbled, pretty much, in our minds. But this says about lest you let them slip is referring to a vessel, a green vessel, that you put water in, and it's not seasoned with use, able to know the tricks, able to do that, and it lets them it leaks out. If it all leaks out, eventually it's going to dry up until it's in the same situation that it was to start with. You got to season the vessel and let it hold it. When it holds it, then it's capable of holding more. So there's a real analogy here to our being able, spiritual minded, importance of things. And this is what one of the commentators wrote about it. I thought it was worth thinking about. To really get a hold of and remember what you hear, take the more earnest heed, there has to be some things, some givens here. It means that there must be dignity of the speaker. Understand that there must be some confidence in, well, it's called the Word of God for us, so I don't think that the dignity of the speaker ought to be a lot of issue. But there is even to someone that's bringing it forth. If there's not confidence in the one that's bringing it forth, there's going to be a hindrance to the process. There must be a confidence that what I'm receiving, I don't have to wait through it all to accept, or I can easily take it. It's an idea that there's dignity of the speaker. Then There must be an importance or an import of subject. This subject's got to be important to me. I'm not going to remember something that's not important to me. There are certain things I don't really relate to real well. So it's not real important to me. Someone may come and say, hey, would you like to go see my, you know, well, actually that happened to me. Somebody said, yeah, we'll go see my tractor. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not a tractor guy. If you're a tractor guy, you would want to see the tractor. I'm not a tractor guy, you know what I'm saying? I like to go down Brother Darrell's shop. And then I remember what I want to see. I mean, I remember some of the mounts even right now, I can remember some of the mounts that are called, that's interesting to me. So the importance of the subject is a key. It's important. It is important. Whether we make it important, we got to learn to make the important things. And the last of the three things I think is very needy. It's the necessity of salvation. The more need of salvation we are, the more we acknowledge and recognize, I'm desperate to be saved. I'm going to need everything I can get to make it through. I need to hear the Word of God. I need not only to hear it, I need to embrace it. I can't afford to let it go slip by. I need to grasp it. I can't be a green barrel. I've got to grasp it and hold it and maintain it. It's that important to me. And when these three, I think these three elements are there, the dignity of the speaker, the importance of the subject, and the necessity of my salvation, I think that will enhance our services. I think it will enhance what I can get out of it. I've endeavored to get more for my own soul out of the messages. And if I can do nothing else with this feeble mind of mine, I would like to be able to at least acknowledge the message that the Lord is sending, accept it, and grasp it. I mean, use it. Say that. That message was about humility. God sent us a message of humility. I'm going to place that message of humility in my heart. I'm going to remember I need to be humble. See what I'm saying? The message that the Lord sends, whatever it is, of the necessity of the time. When a beware message comes by, you beware of this time. You beware of it. I need that. I need that. I'm going to grasp that. I may not remember the one that preached it or where he preached it at, but I'm going to get the message that I need to beware. I need to guard my heart. See? And so, Lord, help us today. How do you get a hold of it? Well, sometimes it takes the Lord to help us to do that. But mainly it is, in my experience, it is a willingness to say yes to it. Yes, I that's the graspings when I say yes to it. It may struggle sometimes to say yes to that. But when I can say yes, Lord, I'll take that. That's when the grasping takes. That's how you say yes to the Lord, and I'll do that. Yes. Like I say, I think we're human, and it would be impossible for me to have done this little exercise at the beginning of next year's revival and you get anybody get the answers right. or at the beginning of the camp meeting. We're human. But the necessity is to get what the value of it is into us. We're not going to remember. How many meetings have we been in? How many could you say, was he at Monarch last year? Who preached the first service there? Who preached the third? What did they preach about? We wouldn't remember. I don't think anybody would. I'm not sure anybody really can. But while we're there doing it, getting the substance of it and saying, yes, Lord, and getting it there and allowing it to transform us into that so that that's what we are, is the valuable thing of it. To give the more earnest heed to it, to get it in there, because if we don't get it in there as a main part of who we are, once it's gone, it's gone. And then there's no benefit to it, and there's nothing to do. But we can't remember all the words or the details, but we remember the essence of it. The Lord taught us in this meeting of things to come. He taught us to be faithful in this meeting. He taught us to be aware. He taught us to let the Lord search Him. I've heard all of these things. These are the valuable things to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't know who may have preached it, but I'll say this. That's what I want in my life. And once it's in your life, it's kind of like love. People get it all wrong. Love is really what you are. I've had people look at it wrong. Jesus, for instance, he says God is love. That's what He is. So when you say, well, I have to be something or do something so God will love me, it's a ridiculous statement. Because He is love. When we have to struggle to love, it's because we're not love in us. I mean, you know, so I love you because you love me. I love you because you love me. I love you if you don't love me, because love is in me. See, if I don't have love in me, then I only love you because you love me. But if I got love in me, then I love you regardless of what you do, because it's love in me. You understand what I'm saying? And all the graces of God are that way. I don't have grace because you do something. I have grace because I have grace in God. I have this. If I have gentleness, it's not because you deserve gentleness. It's because I am gentle. See, understand what I'm saying? It's what we become, and that is where we give the more earnest heed. And as a vessel, seasoned vessel, we've swollen. It's all sealed up. We hold. We're able to hold those things as mature vessels. So that's my burden for the day, and I hope you take this challenge, because if you was there, as I was at home, saying, oh, I just don't know, I don't remember. And then they say, well, it was you, Brother Marty, you preached that. And I say, well, what? And then they tell me, and I start saying, well, I got it in notes, I'll see what I preached, because I couldn't remember even that. And we have that fallible of a mind. But to maintain the essence, Lord help us. I think there's a lot more if we open our hearts and say, I think we'd really say, there is so much more that I can get and maintain if I give myself the more earnest heed. If I'll give more earnest heed to it and make it my salvation and have how important it really is, then I'll remember those things. Will you pray for me?
And I sat there and one of the ministers preached on it, and it suddenly, it was like, that's what you have to do. That's
if you go with the right heart to hear, it's amazing what you'll hear. If you go with giving the earnest heed, and I've told this before, but it happened to me. We was in service one day, and I fiddled, and this was years ago, but it was awful. I mean, that's the way I interpreted it. It was so dry. Just nothing. It was just, and I thought, I'll be so glad to get out of here this morning. This was just dry. And Brother, after the service, after the minister sat down, Brother Jim stood up and said, I want to thank the Lord for this good message. And it just, I thought, what was he listening to? That was awful. And he started testifying about everything that he got out of there, and I sat there and argued with him. It wasn't in there. That was not it. But it was in there for him. He sat there with a heart ready to get something, was given the earnest heed, and he heard something. I was sitting there fiddling in my seat, had my mind off somewhere else, not giving any heed, and I didn't hear anything. But it teach me something. We need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Because if we don't really have that, we'll never maintain them.
That's
Amen.
That's